School CEO Conversations is an Aptigee Media production. We like to have insightful conversations with education's most inspiring and thoughtful leaders. In this episode, Redefining the Guidance Counselor, we talk with Dr. Laura De La Cruz, Superintendent of Oswego School District in Oregon. Here are our hosts, Michael and Joy.
Hey, Laura, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So I know that since COVID has hit, you guys at Lake Oswego have really been rethinking the role of the counselor. So what are some of the changes that you've made to that position?
So some of the changes that we've made in the role of the school counselor include actually expanding the role from mostly schedules and letters of recommendation for colleges and helping with college applications to being more a part of a wellness team. Mm-hmm. And so the wellness team is more well-rounded. It includes counselors, school psychologists, and school social workers. And the wellness team's role changed dramatically from March on, in that there was an opportunity that our counselors participated in to put social-emotional learning content online for our students to access once a week, and then also to be available for really mental health and social-emotional counseling and more therapeutic supports for students during that time.
Mm-hmm. So what was it about COVID in particular that let you know that it was time to re-examine the role?
You know that when kids are suffering, you've got to do things differently. And so back in March, we immediately knew we needed to do some things differently, but we were also getting some input from students. I was reaching out to students to see how distance learning was going at that time. So we were having phone calls, just one-on-one with students. And we also have student school board representatives. And so they were sharing with us in school board meetings and then just with me personally that they and their peers were struggling. And then in those phone calls, a big aha moment that I had, and this was early on when we thought we were doing a great job of letting students know, here's how you reach your counselors are available, the wellness team is here for you, here's mm-hmm. where the social emotional content is. We thought we were doing a good job of that by putting that out where students were getting their information through Google Classrooms and the website and things like that and newsletters. But in one profound conversation that I had with a student during that time, you know, we had wrapped up our conversation. I said, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you either want to ask or you want me to know? And she said, I was just wondering, does the school district have any counselors that are available? Wow. I'm really worried about my peers who are very stressed. Their parents are overwhelmed and stressed. Their homes, you know, are filled with anxiety, and I don't know where they can get support. And that just blew my mind that we had been doing what we thought was so much outreach to students and they weren't hearing it or receiving it. We weren't getting to them. And that's when we made a decision that we needed to reach them differently. And so that's when we decided to meet them where they are, which is on Instagram.
So did you just post about the program on Instagram, or I guess like what else did you do to really get the word out?
Well, so we actually added our middle school and high school students to all of our school newsletter or district newsletters and all of the district, you know, information that we were pushing out, because it was just going to their parents. Mm-hmm. And then we also put information right on Instagram saying, if you need to talk to someone, here's the phone number to call, and here's how you can reach somebody from the wellness team of your school. And we saw a huge uptick from, I think at that time we were at about probably 2,000 contact points with students too. Within the next couple of weeks, it went up by another couple thousand. So we knew we were reaching more students. We still are refining that. So we had focus groups when we were about to start the school year to hear from high school students in particular. What do you want us to be thinking about? What are we missing in our planning? And how can we do better? And they said, even in a traditional school year, we meet our counselors for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
We learn who they are and how they can help us with academics, let's say. But that kind of connection is not relationship building. And so it makes it so that they're not somebody we would turn to when we need help. And so then we met with high school principals and said, we've got to do this differently. And we met with our counseling team and say, how can we do this differently? And so that reshaped even how those initial connections went in terms of like small focus groups for kids with counselors to say, you know, let's talk about a topic and get to know each other a little bit. Mm. We had some virtual meet and greets at the beginning of the school year for the same reason, so that it wasn't just academically focused. And so we still need to refine. The student input has really changed how we're approaching counselors in general or wellness for our students.
Well, something that's so apparent in the conversations we've had even in the past is how big of a deal student voice is in Lake Oswego, which is so special. And I think that it's really telling in how you're making these changes with counselors and how you're really like making mental health a priority right now.
Yeah, I feel so strongly that the user experience is the most important voice, and that is our students and a school district. And so we started out with a couple of years ago, even before I got here, we had our first year of having student school board representatives. And every year it's two different representatives, so we keep getting fresh voices, but we've really expanded it. So now we've invited students to be part of our board appointed committee. So we've just added students to our district diversity, equity, inclusion, access committee, which has been, I can't even tell you how powerful it has been to have their voices. We had our student representatives in our strategic meeting planning the other night, and we kind of got stuck on one of our priorities, which was around sustainability. And I turned to our students and said, what would make this meaningful to you and your peers? And they helped us to push through that moment. Like, this is what we care about and need to know that the adults are taken care of. And that shaped that strategic planning priority. Wow. So I love having these student representatives on our committees, because then they ask their peers about things, and then they turn to us and say, hey, and this just happened last week, our peer Alex did a small survey of the high school students and their experience of distance learning, and he has some information to share. So we said, great, let's meet with him. So the high school principals and I and our executive director of secondary met with him, of course, over Zoom. And he had a presentation for us. He had slides, he had data. He had recommendations. And something that was really cool about it was we had been promoting a highly recommended instructional model for distance learning of gradual release. So, you know, the teacher does a little bit of talking, but not a lot. And then the students have time to collaborate and go off and do their own student-led work and then come back for closure. But we hadn't shared that with students. And this student described exactly what he felt like students need. And it was that model exactly. So it was like, wow. The user experience is telling us that we need to be relying on these, you know, highly recommended instructional models. I mean, I think there is nothing more powerful than to hear from our students what is going well and what they need us to do differently. We can, you know, we can ask a lot of stakeholders and all voices are important, but what really matters is how our students are either being positively impacted or not. And if they're not, then we need to change what we're doing.
That's really exciting. I think that's really powerful. So I wanted to go back a little bit. So you talked about the idea of a wellness team, and that the root of this idea did come from student voice too, right? The idea of kind of like focusing on student health and really making that a priority.
It came from both. Mm-hmm. So we knew when we entered that period of quarantine that we had to be there for kids socially, emotionally, but we have refined it and expanded it based on student voice.
Gotcha.
A current example of how that has happened too is that we had what has been unfortunately common on the very first day of school, second period at our high school and our middle school, a Zoom bombing. And they were terrible racist postings in the, you know, in the chat of each, just horrifying. And the teachers took them down as fast as they could, but students were still impacted by that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we knew of some students who were impacted, and we reached out to them directly, because it's not just the incident and the investigation, you know, it's the healing and the restoration that needs to happen as well. But then I heard from the older sister of a student at the high school, and she said, I'm writing you because my sister was really negatively impacted what happened, and I'm hoping that you can expand your counseling services to support students of color in particular. And so I immediately connected her to our assistant superintendent, who immediately connected her to our counselors. And then kind of on the back side of things, we have been providing a professional development for all of our staff, but also for our counselors around implicit bias, bias awareness, how to have hard conversations about race, so that they're prepared to have these conversations and to expand their support of our students of color in particular. So we're really reaching out far beyond the traditional role of counselor, as you can imagine. And that is coming from students and young people in our community saying, we need something different.
So these are really big changes that you are trying to enact. What was the pushback that you got from counselors?
That how can we possibly do everything that's on our plates? I mean, we're overseeing 504s and meetings with parents and meetings with students and schedules. And so we did say, okay, we're going to pause on the social emotional push. And this was right before students were in school. And then the first couple of weeks that students were in school. Mm-hmm. So the counselors can get everything taken care of that you need to for the schedules. But then we're going to pick this back up. So now we've picked it all back up. And they did say, still, what are you going to take off our plates? And so we've gotten some other coordinated supports in place for 504s and meetings with parents around the 504 accommodation plans. And then we've also said, for now, counselors, we want and need you, and we're telling you to pause on things like college recommendation letters, things that are sort of those rituals and routines that happen that are more about things that are going to happen in the future, like mm-hmm. college. Like right now, college is important, but right now we need to support our kids on a social emotional level. So we're asking mm-hmm. you to set those other things aside. The schedules are done. Set that aside too. We're giving you permission for your focus to completely be on the well-being of our students.
So are those things just being put on hold right now, or are you kind of redirecting them to principals or to other administrators?
So the letters of recommendation for college are on pause completely right now. Mm-hmm. And the principals, the high school principals, we're going to find who else might pick that up. I haven't circled back to what that is right now. And we've redistributed some things to the administrative team so that probably for this school year, the counselors will have less focus on those technical aspects of their work and more on the social emotional aspects of their work.
So what are some of the things that you're wanting counselors to keep in mind in this upcoming year?
I want them to keep in mind everything that's happening in the worlds of our kids who are feeling very isolated in so many ways, but also in the bigger world with the racial justice turmoil happening in the country. And it's very profound just up the road in Portland. Mm-hmm. And we have many students who are involved on the local level with organizing events and being part of, you know, marches and getting involved with some local organizations whose focus is on racial justice, who are very involved in the SRO conversations. And so the tension that we see kind of in the country and the world is here too in our community. And that is a very real component of our work. Like, we can't ignore that. It's a part of what our students are dealing with, whether they are Black and having an amplified experience of pain right now, or white and don't understand the experience and are confused about it, or our different students who are in underrepresented groups who are, you know, also just feeling the agitation or learning or trying to find out how to get involved and what this means for them. That tension is happening in the personal lives of our students here too. And that's what we want our counseling team and our wellness team to be prepared to respond to. And so again, we're not there yet. This is all in progress. We are continuing to build professional development and resources for all of our staff and for our counseling staff too. Mm-hmm. And then we also have to stay really cognizant about students who are at risk for or are considering or who have attempted suicide. I just don't say that lightly at all. But that is a very real aspect of all of the time when working with young people, and really amplified right now. Mm-hmm. We had an extremely unfortunate event actually on Labor Day weekend, right before we started school, where one of our students were in a vehicle and in an accident. One of the students was driving, and the student who was a passenger was killed in the accident. And so we had to, again, shift our counseling team to become a immediate response team, and we had them at a school spread out, physically present for kids, so that you know, kids who were mourning and grieving could have somebody to talk to right away. So it's almost like we've got our counselors and our wellness team in crisis response mode all the time for one thing or another. And that's a hard place to be. And I know that it builds compassion fatigue, and none of us are experts in racial justice. I think we're all in a learning stance. And so we're doing our best to make sure that we have information and resources that are available for our professionals on our website, and that they're staying connected to their professional network as well. And that our person who oversees them is checking in with them on a regular basis to make sure they have resources they need. And to hear their exhaustion, everyone is exhausted right now. I mean, school teams are at the level of exhaustion right now that typically they are like right before spring break. It's that stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back real quick to the pushback that you mentioned, because I mean, it makes sense, right? A lot of these counselors, like you talked about, they identify with that academic counselor side of things. So I get the pushback on their end. But I just wanted to ask, on the other side, did you have any counselors who were like, wow, like I really need to be bought in on this. This mental health focus is really what we need to be doing, because they were also seeing that demand? I mean, I was just really interested on the flip side of that.
Yeah, I would say that our social workers were more bought in immediately and right away. And they're all starting on the same team, the wellness team. We definitely have some counselors who are very much identified with the academic counselor role. And so it's a big shift and an ongoing reminder that we're needing to do things differently right now. And I think it's very easy to kind of default to old patterns. And so that's why those touch points between them as a team, and also with our the assistant director of student services who oversees them and is working with them, are so important. But yeah, there are definitely some folks who default to that. I thought we were doing things this other way, or this is also still important, and it is, or I'm not trained to do this kind of work with kids. That's something that we hear. So I was trained to be an academic counselor, and we understand that, which is why we're needing to make sure that we're putting resources in front of them, and that they have support here for doing things differently.
And I know, I mean, this is, again, a fairly recent change, but with the change, I mean, have you seen maybe some interest from other people within the district to move into those positions now, like even potentially teachers that maybe hadn't been thinking about counseling before, now that there is this much more substantial mental health focus to it?
It is early, but there's another factor that is greatly impacting the ability to even answer that question. And that is because we're fully remote. And all of our teachers and staff are incredibly stressed beyond belief. And so I think that what I'm hearing is that even teachers who tend to run after school clubs and, you know, be part of certain committees don't have the bandwidth for that right now, because it's taking all of their bandwidth and more to be prepared every single day for online teaching and learning. And so we are looking for ways to alleviate some of that stress and pressure with some scheduling impacts. But so we haven't heard yet from, I think teachers don't, and other staff don't have the working memory or bandwidth right now to say, hey, I'm interested in something else. I wouldn't be surprised if teachers are feeling as if they are needing to serve in that role for students more than before. And what we have heard from teachers is, hey, leadership, we need to build some time into our weekly schedule to have one-on-one touch points with kids, because we're worried about kids getting lost in this online world or not having the touch points they need. And so can you work with us to create some places in our schedules where we are available for kids on more of that social emotional level? And so that's what we're working on right now.
So throughout our conversation, I've been thinking about the wellness team, and it's a small team. So how are you guys able to reach that many students in the district?
And that is really the challenge.
The question.
Because, you know, like you said, how do we reach 7,000 students? Or as many who need it. You know, over the summer, I learned of some students who have their own support network with each other because they didn't know or trust that school counseling teams were available in this way. And so that's something that also broke my heart and that I knew that we needed to solve for. And that's where we decided, at least at the high school level, to make sure that the counselors, school psychologists, and school social workers were creating those touch points with students, and even considering, you know, who are some students either who are new to the district, who haven't even had a chance to get to know people, or who, you know, from past experiences may need some additional support that haven't reached out to us. Let's create some connect groups throughout the week so that students can have social opportunities with each other, but also to get to know the wellness team members more. But we're still working on that. How can we expand our reach? We're just at the point right now that we're going to put out a survey to our students and our families to say, touch point, how's it going? What's going well? What do we need to be refining? Is it too much synchronous time? Is it not enough? You know, how's the screen time going? So we're going to get some of that input and then ask some of those socially emotional questions about, you know, how's your student doing? Or student, how are you doing emotionally? And what do you need? So we'll have more of a sense of that, I think, in coming weeks.
So I'm kind of curious. Last time we talked to you, I think you were somewhere in...
I think you're in Puget Sound, right?
Oh, yeah. Was it Puget Sound?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
It was a long time ago. So you were kind of able to get out into nature. School hadn't started back yet. How are you thinking about taking care of yourself now that the school year has started?
I'm looking out at the rain right now.
Oh, I know. And the smoke.
Which I'm grateful for differently, because the rain is helping the fires, you know, and that's super important. And our air quality was so, so intensely bad, you know, for a week. And so this is really helping with that too. And when we're able to, my husband and I just make it a point to, we were paddleboarding on the weekends for a while there, but now that it's the rainy season, I think is here, we're going to need to think about that differently for self-care. We have a couple of kids in California and a couple of kids in Colorado, and we see them when we can. And I'm just a really physically active person, so I make it a point to do something active every day, whether that's inside or outside. And then just time with family, whether it's in person or virtual, and finding some moments here or there for some quiet reflection. I always have a morning routine that involves gratitude and some reflection and journaling. And I think that's what sets my tone for the day and is a reminder for me that, you know, I need to take time to replenish myself so that I can be there for others.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to wrap up, thinking back, what is your proudest moment in your career as superintendent?
Well, I would say up until now, it would be the ways that I'm reaching out to and hearing from students and having the student voice and the student experience drive our refinements of what we're doing. I feel really proud about that. But I hope it's yet to come in that we're setting a target date for bringing in our most vulnerable learners physically into school to have some supports in schools with limited in-person instruction, because my heart is the most broken about students who cannot access online learning because of a, you know, either they learn differently or an intellectual disability or another kind of barrier that's not allowing them to access online learning. So I've just opened the door to, we are going to move forward with limited in-person instruction in ways that our state will allow us. And I know that that is going to make a huge positive impact on, you know, a particular group of students who have some barriers. And so it hasn't happened yet, but I feel really proud that we've paved the path for that and that it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you. It was great to talk with you, and let me know when the podcast is up.
Thanks for listening to this School CEO Conversation. You can follow Dr. De La Cruz on Twitter at @RLauraDeLaCruz1 and learn more about how Lake Oswego is using Instagram in the show notes. Subscribe to School CEO at schoolceo.com for more advice, stories, and strategies for leading your schools. School CEO is brought to you by Aptigy. This episode is sponsored by Frontlines of Justice.
Frontlines of Justice is a digital platform crafted to utilize the power of film to address social, racial, and educational issues in America through innovative technology, premium content, and influential educators. It's like nothing you've ever seen, offering content you actually want about issues you actually care about. In these times of social unrest, racial injustice, and remote learning, Frontlines of Justice is the solution that we need. E-learning that is changing hearts and minds from the front lines. Join the front lines at frontlinesofjustice.com.